We're doing the laws of Shabbos. We're learning about Bishul. We had learned that Bishul is relevant, be it whether you're going to cook with a liquid, whether you're going to bake with dry heat, whether you're going to roast with dry heat, whether you're going to fry. Now, what about something that was already cooked once? So we have a rule, En Bishul, Achau Bishul. Once something was cooked, so then if you re-cook it, that is not the biblical prohibition of Bishul. Assuming it was cooked completely, it was fully cooked. So then reheating it on Shabbos would not constitute cooking it. We're still going to discuss that. What happens if it's not completely cooked? It's only a third of the way cooked, like we discussed, Machal ben derusai. So then it could be completely a complete biblical prohibition of completing the cooking process. That's what we discussed, that the soldiers who put up that chulent on Friday afternoon, if on Shabbos they were to take it off the fire only to discover it wasn't yet fully cooked, it would be biblically prohibited for them to put it back on the fire, because then they're cooking. Putting it back on the fire when it's not yet fully cooked is biblically prohibited. We don't always say that ein bishul achar bishul. For example, if you cook water, you brought it to the boiling point or you brought it to Yad Soledesbo, now the water's cooked, and then you take it off the fire, and it cools. If you put it back on the fire, so then, according to many opinions, there we would say there's bishul achar bishul. So the rule we generally say is that by davar yavesh, something that's relatively dry, there we say you completed the cooking process once and reheating it does not constitute cooking. But by davar lach, by something that's liquid, so there we say even if you've cooked it once, re-cooking it would constitute cooking on Shabbos. According to some opinions, we will see. Here there's a slight difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim, and even amongst Ashkenazim, there are two understandings as to what the Ramah is saying. But we will revisit that a little bit later. Okay, so let's begin with davar yavesh. You have a roast, you cooked it. You have chicken, you cooked it. And now it cooled off. So there we said reheating it is not going to be bishul, because we say the first effects of the first cooking are still relevant. And nonetheless, what we have to realize is yesh afia achar bishul. Something that was cooked with a liquid, if you would heat it with dry heat by roasting it or baking it, so then that can affect the food item in a way that you did not yet affect it. And that's what we call yesh afia achar bishul. There's also the concept of yesh bishul achar afia. So where would that be relevant? Let's say you have matzah. Okay, you have matzah or you have challah. These are things that were baked. And you have soup cooking on the fire. So you have soup in your plata, and you have matzah or challah or cookies, and you want to put them inside the soup on the plata. Sometimes you have soup nuts, which were baked, or croutons, which were baked, and you want to add them to the soup. Let's say you want to add them to the chulent. So then that would be cooking. These items were baked previously. They were not cooked. By putting them into the chulent or the soup, that would be bishul, cooking, achar afia, after baking. Let's say you have dried tea leaves. So the dried tea leaves were very often dried by dry heat. They were dried in an oven. Would you say that ein bishul, that there's no cooking them? No, we say there is bishul. That's a big discussion about coffee. That some coffees, when they freeze dry them, so roasted coffee. How do they roast the coffee? If they roast it with dry heat, so then you would be prohibited from cooking the coffee on Shabbos because it was roasted, it was baked under dry heat. And by putting it in a liquid, that's cooking it. So the rule we say is, ein bishul achar bishul. There's no cooking after cooking, but yesh bishul achar afiyah. There is cooking after baking. there are tea leaves which are made through cooking. With those tea leaves, you'd say, Ein bishul achar bishul. Our sugar has been cooked. So, Ein bishul achar bishul. Some of the coffees have been pre-cooked, not only roasted. So, by them, you would say, Ein bishul achar bishul. We're still going to discuss other prohibitions with regards to cooking on Shabbos. But with regards to the central prohibition of cooking, so again, our rule is, Ein bishul achar bishul. Once something's been cooked once, recooking it is not a biblical prohibition. We'll discuss when it could be a rabbinic prohibition. But yesh bishul achar afiyah, and yesh afiyah achar bishul. If something was baked using dry heat, so then cooking it is a biblical prohibition. If something was cooked using liquid, then baking it later would be a biblical prohibition. Okay. Here there's an interesting Chazon Ish, which we don't necessarily go by, but it's worth knowing. The Chazon Ish says that with regards to something that melts into the water, so let's say we took the example of sugar. We said sugar is pre-cooked. Part of the process of making sugar is that they cook it. Now, the Chazon Ish says, but being that sugar melts into the water as you heat it, so then the Chazon Ish says we would view it as a liquid. You remember we said with regards to liquids, we say, yesh bishul achar bishul. So that's a very big stringency. Okay, yes?
I don't get the baking like that. Yesh bishul achar bishul?
Yeah.
I don't get that. How can you cook your challah?
Your challah was baked, and you're going to cook it now. So let's say you're in the army, you don't have extra bowls. You heated your soup directly, you put a pot on the fire, and you're going to eat straight out of that pot. Now you take the pot off the fire, it's steaming hot. You're all going to sit down around that pot. You're eating challah, you don't have soup crouton, so you throw in pieces of challah into that pot. So the challah is being baked, and now if that soup pot is yad soledes, well, if you just took it off the fire, that would be bishul achar afiyah. It was baked earlier, now you're cooking it. Yeah? It's very simple. People will sometimes break a matzah into their soup. So once the soup is in a kli shlishi, or once the soup is not yad soledet bo, so then fine. So then it's not cooking. Then it's not hot enough to cook. But if the soup is like the example we gave, so that would be bishul achar afiyah. The same thing with the tea leaves. If the tea leaves are dried with dry heat, if they're baked dry, so putting them into a pot that's straight off the fire, that pot is kli rishon, that would be an isur d'oraita. That's bishul achar afiyah.
So they're saying that there is like some direct changes that's happening.
Correct. That the change that happens through afiyah is not the same as the change through bishul. So there, you can do bishul after you've done afiyah. This becomes relevant with soup croutons, because when you take the soup from the pot into your bowl, you're using a ladle. And that's not so clear whether the ladle constitutes another vessel or it's just a continuation of the soup pot, because it's sitting in the soup pot, so it's constantly hot. So then is your bowl a kli sheni or a kli shlishi? If it's a kli sheni, so then a kli sheni that's still yad soledet bowl might be able to cook. So if you're putting the soup croutons in, and the soup croutons are fried, so then that process of frying, it's unclear whether that is bishul or afiyah, being that there's very little liquid. Do we look at that as dry heat with just a drop of liquid, or do we look at that as wet heat because you have the oil in which it's fried? So that's not clear halachically. And as such, it's not clear, depending on which soup croutons, depending on how it's made, you might not be able to put it directly in the soup in the scenario I mentioned, so long as the soup is so hot. Yes.
Continue. I had another question, but I just forgot what I was
asking. Okay. Now, for us Ashkenazim, the Ramah says that, let's say you took soup off the fire, the prohibition of bishul, achar bishul, the Ramah says, is only if it cooled off. But if it didn't completely cool off, if it's still warm, so then you could put it back on the fire. Again, we'll discuss the rabbinic aspects of that, but from a biblical perspective, the Rama says, we don't put it back on the fire if it's cooled off completely. But if it's still warm, you could put it back. So there's a question what the Rama meant here. Some want to say that the Rama meant that if it cooled off completely, so then the impact of the first bishul is completely gone. That's when we say there's a biblical prohibition of bishul achar bishul. But the Chazanish and Rav Moshe Feinstein did not understand the Ramah that way. They said that when the Ramah said this, what the Ramah was really saying is that even in liquids, from a biblical perspective, ein bishul achar bishul. Once it's been cooked once, then cooking it a second time is not a biblical prohibition. The Ramah was telling us a rabbinical stringency. The rabbis did not want you taking cold soup and putting it on the fire. The rabbis said, so long as it has some of the impact of the previous cooking, so long as it's still a little bit warm, we'll permit you to put it back on the fire. But once it's cooled off completely, you can't wake up Shabbos morning and take your cold soup and put it on the plata. That's what the rabbis were prohibiting, but it's a rabbinic prohibition, not a biblical prohibition. So according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Chazon Ish, what the Ramah was saying is that really from a biblical perspective, ein bishul achar bishul, even with lach, even with liquids. Technically, where is this relevant? You come to a Yemenite's home and they take the soup straight out of the fridge and put it on the plata. Not even a Yemenite's home. You go to someone else's home and they do that. So if we would view that as a biblical prohibition, so on a biblical prohibition, if someone does it on your behalf on Shabbos, you may not benefit from it. But if we say it's a rabbinic prohibition, there we have much more wiggle room. If the person who put the soup back on the plata only did a rabbinic prohibition, if biblically we say, ein mishul achar bishul bilach, so there we'd have much more room to be lenient where necessary. Yes? It could be that they didn't want us to put a cold soup on the fire because from a human perspective, we definitely feel like we're doing bishul. Ask a person if you take a cold kettle of water and put it on the fire, did you do bishul? The person will say, sure I did. But you cooked it yesterday. The person will say, right, but right now it's cold water. That's the harshest example. It's very hard to understand why you'd say about water and bishul achar bishul. So what if I cooked it yesterday? Now it's cold water.
Yeah, but water is not a finished product. That's how I look at it. Like a soup is a finished product.
I hear, but I think in people's minds there's a difference between cold soup and cold schnitzel. Cold schnitzel, you feel like reheating it is not cooking it. Cold soup, you feel like reheating it is cooking it. I think that in people's minds, people do view reheating liquids differently than reheating solids.
Being that they were
experts at using their fires, think about it. Every night they went to sleep, they had to keep a fire going. So they were very good at this. They knew which wood retains the heat, which wood retains a fire. They knew which coals, the Gemara discusses, they knew it was like common knowledge, which coals are good and which coals are bad. You ask a person today, how are you going to store your Coke? You opened up a Coke bottle, what's the best way to store it? You bought coffee, what's the best way to store it? In the fridge, in the freezer, in vacuum packed. People are experts in what's relevant to them today. So in those days, what was relevant to them was, How do you keep a fire going? How do you keep the heat going? So they had all kinds of grades of coals. They knew which coals retained heat this long, which coals retained the fire that long. They knew how to make coals that were that had different strengths. They knew which wood would give them different types of fires. So, yeah, they were able to keep their fire going on Shabbos, even though they didn't deal with it. The Gemara discusses how they set up the fires, even in the temple, so that the fire would keep burning through the night. Yeah, aside from the fact that in many communities they had a Shabbos guy, they had a non-Jew who would come in and deal with that. But they were also very good at it. When that's your life, you figure it out. Look at us, when we had the snowstorm. So we didn't have electric going into Shabbos. Suddenly we devised ways to ensure that our Shabbos candles would last till the end of Shabbos. You put the Shabbos candle inside a cup. You put inside the cup a lot of oil. You know, you figured out ways that the Shabbos candle is going to last you till the end of Seudas Shlishit. Ordinarily we don't think about it because we have electricity. When you need it, you suddenly figure it out. Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
With liquids, you're saying there is cooking after cooking, or it's just not
derived. We said there are two understandings in the Ramah, whether the Ramah was saying it's a biblical prohibition of bishul achar bishul in liquids, or a rabbinic. One could rely on Rav Moshe Feinstein that it's only a rabbinic prohibition, that when the Ramah said that that ein bishul achar bishul, so long as it's slightly warm, he was telling you a rabbinic prohibition, that if it cooled off rabbinically, they didn't want you to reheat it. But from a biblical perspective, ein bishul achar bishul bilach.
So, in like a practical situation, like, so as a personal question, do you ever add ketchup or hot sauce or things like this on Shabbos?
Oh, so we'll get there. That's an excellent question. Adding ketchup or hot sauce, we will get there. Ketchup is a great example. It happens to be that there were two responses written about ketchup, and one treats ketchup as a solid and the other treats ketchup as a liquid, and it seems that the difference is that one response was written in the United States of America, where people use Heinz ketchup, which is very thick. It doesn't just flow like a liquid. And the other one was written in Israel, where the ketchup flows much, it's much more liquidy, the Israeli ketchup, as opposed to the American ketchup. The American ketchup sits on a spoon. The Israeli ketchup flows, you know, it flows out of a bottle like a liquid. So that's, the American Heinz ketchup, you shake the bottle to get the ketchup to come out. The Israeli ketchup just flows. It's a different level of fluidity. But we will still discuss that. That's an excellent example, how we view ketchup. We'll get there.